Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. From the Metro Business Center of Dundee and Douglas in Louisville's Highlands, it's the Startup Podcast. My name is Dan Vonderhyde. Thank you for taking some time out of your week, and happy new year and merry Christmas and happy Hanukkah, all those things to you. This will be my, this won't be my last podcast of the year. I gotta have one next week, right? Took a little bit of time off earlier in the month, so I'll try to keep cranking these things out. At any rate, thank you so much for taking some time out and spending some time with me and my guest, who this week is Andy Swan, a local entrepreneur. He's been on the podcast before talking about his company called Voomly. He has a new thing. It's less than 6 months old, called Likefolio. You may have seen some of that floating around the Twitterverse or Facebook or wherever you prefer to absorb your information. Andy talks about Voomly and how it's still operating, and also talks about Likefolio and what that is. And really, it's sort of a big data tool that has a nice face on it and tells you how you can make more money as an investor. So he really is one of the brightest guys in town. He has very strong opinions on things, and his even his Twitter profile says the average follower lasts 3.2 days. See, he's not afraid to say what he thinks, and he stands behind what he says, and he has a lot of admirable qualities for somebody who is providing leadership for a group of people, and he has a lot that he can teach us just by listening to him. So I hope you enjoy the talk. It's been a great year for the Startup Podcast and for Louisville.am, which did not exist at this point last year. Of course, at the end of the year, you want to take some time to reflect over the past 12 months, and I just want to say thank you for supporting me and my little project here and making it into something that I think matters for a lot of people. We've crossed over 52,000 total downloads for this network. That means there are a lot of people that are spending a lot of time consuming what it is we're producing. And that means something not only to me, but to these other hosts who took a chance with me and decided they wanted to expand their platform and their reach and had something to say. They have a point of view on whatever it is topic that they're covering, whether it's Rick and his Rusty Satellite or the LouisvilleBeer.com or the Crunch Zone or the Podcats, or these shows are great, and they reflect what Louisville is, depending on which corner of Louisville you're looking at and the topic that they're talking about. And it's very humbling to have made something that matters to people. So looking back, feeling all warm and fuzzy at the end of the year, I just want to say thank you. Enough of my blathering, though. Let's hit the record button on Andy Swan here on the Startup Podcast. Is this thing on? Every now and then I don't have these settings correct, and it sounds like the microphones is on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
And people are just talking. And my wife gives me a hard time about that. It's like an audio typo.
Right.
Like, how can you live with it? Why wouldn't you just redo it? You can't recreate these moments.
Right. It's too much magic.
Gee, I'll put a blog post out with, I don't know, a missed period or something.
Right.
I type fast, or this is a battery connected Wi-Fi keyboard, and sometimes it doesn't translate well and I don't catch it.
Right.
Just not that. I just want to publish it.
Right.
I don't want to say I'm not detail oriented. Because I do pay attention to that sort of thing, but I'm also in a, I just like to hit something off the list. Let's knock it right off.
Yeah, get it done.
Last time you were in, we were talking about Voomly.
Yes.
And Voomly's still around, right?
Yes, still running. It's running on its own, pretty much. We don't put a lot of time behind it because it's a platform that can run on its own.
So it did exactly what you wanted it to do in a very short time?
Well, no. We wanted it to go really big, really fast, but we figured out it's more of a niche product, and so...
I don't know. All right. I'm not going to interrupt you or tisk you because I think it's a great idea.
No, you know, I think that it's a good idea. It's just, you know, you have to have such volume and so on to make the business model work that, you know, when like Folio got going and started taking off, we didn't have enough attention to pay to Voomly to really keep it going, you know, on a trajectory, but we can keep it running.
So do you put it on the market at that point? Like, oh, look, we got a little something here. Maybe somebody would like to buy this.
No, we still like the business a lot. Okay. It's just, you know, it's not our top priority right now, and it is capable of running on its own, and so we're pretty happy with where it's at.
Were you working on these things concurrently?
Yes.
So the last time, it was, I don't know when the last time you were in here was.
Probably a year.
Yeah.
Or close.
So like Folio was at least something you were working on.
It was an idea. It was, okay. Yeah, it was in total, you know, sort of prototype stage.
Cocktail napkin.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Maybe some things have had translated into digital.
Yeah, but not much.
All right, so Voomly's running on its own, and it's creating revenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, creating revenue.
So you're just having money drop in your bank account from time to time? And
money drop in, and then money go out.
Well, of course. Well, like Folio costs money at this point, right?
Yeah, it does.
Let's talk about that idea. Like, what is it?
Oh, okay. So LikeFolio is really cool. It's we sort of took the Peter Lynch philosophy of investing in what you know and tried to apply that to today's you know, social media world. And so with LikeFolio, you can go LikeFolio.com, sign in using your Twitter or Facebook handle. We go crawl through your previous posts and your friends' previous posts to find the mentions and discussions that you're having about the products and brands that can tie up to publicly traded companies. So we can say, all right, you guys, you know, you're talking about Starbucks a lot, or you're talking about Android phones or iPhones, whatever. And we can highlight the companies that you and your friends talk about most and show you those investment opportunities. So sort of a discovery mechanism for new investors to get acquainted with the market.
We'll quote them a price and say, this is the history and all of that.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah, and we've got a really cool display so that you can sort of see on a one-year stock chart all of those conversations that you were having with your friends about the products behind that company.
Okay.
And so you can say, you know, one great example is I kept seeing conversations about Tesla, the car.
That's one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, well, no, not the car.
Dang.
All right, so there's like,
you know, can buy Tesla the band really low right now, I can tell you that.
Probably so. But, you know, what's cool about it is there's probably maybe 3 to 5 Teslas in Louisville. I mean, no one knows anybody that has one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've never seen one.
Right. Okay. But, you know, through this tool over the last year or so, you know, I've seen more and more conversations about it. And the car has grown in such popularity that, you know, now the stock has gone up 5-10-fold over the last year. And, you know, you could kind of see that happening with the tweets and conversations that were happening about its product.
Tesla's so new, I wouldn't even imagine that was publicly traded.
Yeah, no, it is. Point. Yeah.
That didn't get a whole lot of buzz, at least.
Right. That's what we're trying to, you know, those are the sort of opportunities and discoveries that we're trying to help people have so that they can see those types of things without necessarily watching CNBC all day.
Yeah. Well, because most people don't. Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but the great preponderance of investors in the country don't do that. They have a couple of things that they bought, or somebody advised them to buy, or maybe they inherited some stuff from their parents, or a rich uncle or somebody who had stock in GE or something, and they have no idea. It's just sitting there.
Right.
They're not even active traders. They just probably get a statement once a quarter and go, oh, I still have that.
Yeah, and there's even more people that aren't really invested at all, because they don't understand how it works. And so that's the other part of what we're trying to do is educate people that, look, you're interacting with these brands and products every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drives these companies' stock prices up or down, is the success or failure of their products. And so just getting people in that investor type of mindset, you know, is a big step towards, you know, creating a more financially literate society.
If more people were investing in the stock market, would that be an enormous boon to the economy? Does that create more free-flowing money rather than keeping it in a bank account?
It does. Like, It does indirectly because, you know, that money is put to use by the company's investors in the market, and it drives innovation outside of publicly traded companies as well, because once you have, you know, as you add more liquidity to a marketplace, which is what you're talking about, when more money flows into a marketplace, you have more liquidity, and that brings more participants. And so younger companies have an easier time getting financed when markets are good. And so, you know, right now it's pretty good, but, you know, it can always be better with more people participating in the process all the way through. And it helps. My main point is it doesn't just help the companies that are already public, the big GEs and Microsofts of the world, but it helps Joe's startup down the street because the potential investors in his company see greater potential in, you know, in his success if it gets to that point. So.
Well, and Kent Euler came in and he talked about the equity crowdfunding movement and how the SEC is deregulating this and that and allowing people to invest money and for a return, not just for, you know, a gift or whatever
it is.
Incentive-based
stuff. Kickstarter kind of thing.
Would, he says, that, I mean, it just it would unlock a vast ocean of currency if that ever comes to fruition. And it may for, you know, for, I think I would know about that if it did, but
I
don't know what the state, I probably ought to catch up on.
It's, with you know, in 2014, I mean, you will be allowed to invest in private companies through these crowdfunding platforms. There's still a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed in terms of what those marketplaces look like and the vehicles for making the transaction. But that's a definitely a growing movement that's that could be pretty big.
And your whole your first company was based on stocks and trading and all of that.
Just two. I mean, the two real successes that we've had have been in stock market and really helping. We've always been focused on the individual, you know, quote unquote retail investor. Helping them, you know, have the same sort of tools or education or mindset as, you know, higher paid professional type of investors.
And but you don't actually do the trading.
No,
you have a partner for that, right?
Yeah. So we are partnered with TD Ameritrade, who you know is regulated. You know, they're the best broker in the business, in my opinion, from a technology and financial security standpoint. And so. Or partner with them, and that's actually where, you know, if you wanted to place the trades or actually make these investments, you would, you know, get an account with them and, and transact with them.
So you, but your role is just to, it's not even as an advisor, it's just almost as an eye opener.
Yeah, exactly. We consider ourselves a discovery tool.
Do you have to put that disclaimer out there? Like, this is, you know, you can't take this as legal advice or financial advice or...
We really don't have to, but we try to. I mean... we don't think that anyone should be making, you know, every a decision on what to invest in based purely upon the, you know, social signal of, you know, mentions of products and so on. It's one tool to help you discover what's going on and to help you figure out the sentiment behind, the, you know, the products that these companies are making. Are they making good stuff that people like? Seems like a pretty good question if you're about to invest your money in a company.
You don't have an attorney telling you what to say and what to do?
No, we don't. No, we are in the unregulated arena, which I like very much.
All right.
Yeah.
I like that too. So where did this whole thing come from? I mean, you had the two companies and you've sold them off.
Yep.
And Voomly's completely unrelated.
Correct.
It was a great idea. And it's we've established that it's still out there and running, Voomly.com.
Yep.
And so then this other thing comes along is that, like, how did all of this come together?
Well, it's part of the reason. So our previous company we had sold to TD Ameritrade and worked there for, I think, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years. And one of the things that we kept seeing was, you know, that through their marketing efforts and through their, you know, technology efforts, they're very focused on trying to reach the younger generation and not very successful at doing so.
Okay.
And so we had the idea of like Folio as kind of a way to help fill that for them. So we saw their need in reaching younger generation, and we saw the opportunity of, you know, younger generation or non-investors using social media tools. And we thought, okay, this could be a nice little marriage here. We could help, you know, help both sides of the equation by creating something cool.
Did you work on this with them and say, hey, this is something we're thinking about?
No. We spun off from TD Ameritrade before we pursued the idea.
Okay. So this has been going on for, you launched it not too Yeah, maybe 8 months ago, if
not
that.
Not even that. Yeah, we've actually been live for since basically August, so just a few months.
How do you get from idea, and then you have a developer guy that is on your staff, on your team?
No, we don't. But Landon, who's my partner and brother, handles 90% of the technology decisions for the company. And so he helps figure out how we're going to have this developed and in what order we're going to do things, and really maps that out down to a T so that we have an exact destination that we're headed before we start building anything.
Okay. So, and then what do you do then?
I don't do
anything.
I do podcasts. Yeah. And, you know, no.
You've gotten a great deal of publicity.
Yeah.
Right? I've seen you on national news networks, right?
Yeah, we've been on Fox Business. Just last week, we were named the number two financial site app by CNN Money for 2013. So
Behind,
I don't know, because what happened was, I saw, you know, they put out this article, top 15, and I saw the word like folio came up as an alert, and I was like, wow, okay, top 15, that's pretty cool. So I went to the article, the first one was whatever it was, I immediately clicked next, and there we were, and I was like, okay, good, number two, we'll take that, and I moved on.
So is that, like, do you have a PR agency working on your behalf, or do they just pick up on it?
I do.
That's a good thing to know for somebody who's looking for... You know, a little publicity.
I did events where I spoke at events and told about what Likefolio was all about, told the story, which, you know, is much easier when you have a story that resonates with people and they get it really quickly, you know, that helps a lot. And so a lot of this came from speaking engagements that I was involved with over the past 2 or 3 months. And
just traveling around at different...
Yep. Like one was Stocktoberfest in San Diego, where, you know, they're showing off the latest and greatest in financial technology. And so,
see, it would never even occur to me that they have those sorts of conventions, but of course they do.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and that's one of the benefits of being a niche player, in the financial niche for Likefolio that we really didn't have or don't have with Voomly. It's like, where do you go to promote something that's that broad?
Right.
It's actually easier to be a big fish, you know, in a small pond a lot of times. And, you know, that's a big takeaway for me from the last year. And so, you know, just hitting the pavement, getting on planes and going and seeing the people that that need to know about you is pretty critical to success.
You need to get Vaynerchuk on the Voomly.
Yeah.
You need to get him to be, you know, it'd be a high dollar consultation fee, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, I know, but... That's one of the challenges for Voomly, actually, is, you know, guys like him don't need it because they have other ways to monetize their reputation, and the people who
they may or may not be monetizing that reputation, though. I mean, it gives him a way to, you know, people are asking him questions all the time. That's how he built his reputation. Is email me. He used to answer every email.
Right.
But yeah, now I'll answer your email for $10.
Yeah. I mean, there's still something there, I think. But, you know, what we found was that, you know, really high-end guys like that or ladies, they didn't want to charge by the month or by the – they didn't want to charge their fans directly. And they wanted to build up their reputation, get speaking fees, do book deals, you know, sell more wine, whatever. You know, there was
higher dollar transactions.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So if they're going to expend the effort, then
right.
You know, well, and that could sort of. I don't mean to talk about Voomly the whole time.
No, that's fine.
You're here to talk about your new thing.
No. But I like Voomly. And what we've got there is very interesting, and I think we'll be able to use it quite a bit with Likefolio, because the Voomly technology asset is extremely valuable and it's very stable. It's really well done, and so we can take that into a niche like with Likefolio and create a mini marketplace around, you know, this successful site for people to learn more about investing and so on from experts and get that sort of one-on-one stuff.
Yeah.
Then we're on to something, and then we can take Voomly and start white labeling it off to other niche players like Likefolio that could use that kind of mini marketplace of experts around their content.
Attorneys. So, yeah. You know, I guess it's a bottomless
yeah.
supply of potential there.
Yeah, it is. And we just have to find the right way to utilize the asset that we created.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. And, you know, right now we're pretty comfortable with it. We always want to go faster, but, yeah. you know, there's only so much.
Is that one of the bigger frustrations for you when you're trying to build something? Is, we need to get this out now.
That's the only frustration. I mean, that is okay. it. It's always speed to market. It's, you know, that's the one advantage that you have as a small company is that you can be faster and more nimble. And so if you have to take advantage of that.
Even if it's slightly wrong.
Yes, absolutely. I'd rather be wrong really quickly than right really slowly.
So do you, like I went through the Lean Launchpad thing last spring. So I'm familiar with the business model canvas and the Lean methodology of getting everything down and doing your customer interviews and getting that feedback to know if your product is right. But do you do any of that before you put it out, or
no.
you just let's get it out there and see what happens?
No, I'm really not a big fan of that methodology, honestly, because I think it's, you know, it's sort of like one of those things where, you know, quote Henry Ford, you know, if I'd have asked my customers what they wanted, they'd have said a faster horse.
That's right. Yeah.
And so at some point you have to know better than them. You know, you have to know what they want before they want it, and you have to, and the only way to know truly whether or not they're going to like it is to actually put it in front of them. It's one thing, you know, I mean, someone could come up to you tomorrow and say, here's a blueprint of a great building idea I have, and check out the HVAC system, blah, blah, blah. You would have no idea whether or not that was a good idea or not. Mm-hmm. But when you walk into a building, you know, wow, this is beautiful. This is really well done. And so I think that we have to, you know, while it is important to do your research and understand your market, if you truly are a visionary, or if you truly are adding value to a niche marketplace, then I think you need to bet on yourself being right rather than your potential customer being right.
Yeah. Yeah, I could, I mean, it's like sticking your flag in the sand and saying, this is it. You know?
Yeah.
Of course, flags bend and wave, and then, you know, there's always some give and take there. But
right. But if I look back, you know, one of the big reasons that I think this, you know, this way is 10 years ago, our company was partnered with this very small company called Thinkorswim at the time. And they were a very niche online broker for people who were interested in trading options. The market for that at that point was probably like 400 people in the United States. But Tom Sosnoff said, nope, this is going to be the future. This is going to be a big deal, and we're going to help make it that way. We're going to educate people. We're going to teach them that this is the way to trade the market and blah, and this sort of stuff. And so he put his flag in the sand. He went out on the streets and educated people. And 10 years later, you know, the company that everybody hated, Thinkorswim, hated the idea of, actually. Everybody loved the product, but hated the idea of, Thinkorswim was sold to TD Ameritrade for $600 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he knew what the market should be, and then he went out and expanded that market. And if you can do that, then you've got a winner. Rather than, you know, I would leave the customer research stuff, honestly, to companies like GE and so on, who are trying to get another, you know, 100 sales out of each Home Depot by putting this feature on their fridge. You know, that sort of stuff. You've got a lot of competition in that arena. But if you create something new, you know, that no one else is doing, and that you're the visionary for, then you can dominate and expand the niche, which is, I think, the biggest opportunity in startup world.
Well, and sometimes you can sort of have your cake and eat it too. And I can only think about my own example where, you know, people listen to podcasts, and I think that more and more people are going to begin listening to podcasts once they realize how easy it is to do on a mobile device and in a connected car.
Right.
Where that app is going to be right there waiting for them.
That's a big deal.
And not everybody has a connected car, or maybe all the four Teslas in town have a digital dashboard that, you know, is kind of, well, most of us don't have that yet, but they're going to eventually.
Yep.
So, the example that I would use is we have 10 something shows here on the Louisville.am network. Cruise on over to Louisville.am and check them all out.
Mm-hmm.
But we spent the first several months of this thing trying to bring the water to the horse.
right.
saying, "Hey, download this app. Go to your app store and get the iOS podcast app and look us up." And you know, there are plenty of things that can get in the way of somebody doing that successfully.
Right.
Well, then I'm in the back end of the website and I see this little tiny checkbox with this little tiny print that says "Enable embedding." And I check this box. All of a sudden, you can go to the website, Louisville.am website, click embed under any of the files, get this little snippet of code, put it anywhere in the yep. you can on the internet.
Yep.
Well, the shows started doing that and putting putting the shows on their own blog. And I'm telling you, literally overnight, one show went from 50 downloads per episode to 2,000 downloads per episode. Right. Like that.
Right.
And so it's not like I was wrong that people aren't going to listen to the podcast. I just needed to get it to a place where they were going to listen to it.
Right. And because your expertise is in the podcast and the creation of the content, not in the technology utilized to distribute it. So you weren't married to that. You were married to the idea of
how people get it.
Right. I want to get this content out there.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can start that company with that vision and then figure out the rest as you go.
Right.
You know, but you have that core competency that others don't. And so, you know, go plant your flag and grow it from there. Yeah. I don't, you know, you don't have to wait until everybody thinks it's a good idea.
Well, it's been, I mean, that was just a huge light bulb. I was like, oh yeah. my gosh.
Yeah.
And then I felt like an idiot. Like,
right.
Well, how did I overlook that checkbox for 6 months? I just one night was like, poking around, looking at the plugin, figured, and it completely made the difference in everything. It's crazy.
Those are the best, though. I mean, those light bulb moments always make you feel like an idiot, but they're always what grow your business,
well,
too.
You know,
so that's great.
I'll feel like an idiot if those numbers keep
right.
jumping up.
Exactly.
So, you know, that was educational for me. So, you're only, what did we determine, 6 months? 4 months?
Yeah, four or five months.
Four or five yeah. months into this thing. And is it pacing faster than you thought or slower?
It is. It's pacing faster than we thought. And
because of that awesome video you guys did?
Awesome video is great. You know, and people have taken to it and the press has taken to it, which is great. And so, you know, now we're at the point, which brings its own set of problems, you know. Now we're at the point where we now know that we're onto something. And now we have to build the technology to keep up with the demand. From a feature standpoint, which we didn't think that's how it would work. We thought, all right, we'll launch this first version of it. It'll be kind of neat. We'll see how things work. Then we'll build version 2, and that'll be much cooler and much broader, and people can use that. And so when version 1 kind of took off and people started demanding version 2, we were a little bit not there yet.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's a very much a champagne problem, but, you know, also, it's one of those things where, look, you can't plan for either way. You can't plan for failure, and you can't plan for success. You just have to do it the yeah. best you can every day.
So is that what you guys are in now, spending every day thinking, what's next? You know,
yeah.
I guess you always have to be thinking, what's right around the corner? What's
yeah.
next? You know, you want to rest on your laurels, so to speak. So.
Yeah, and we've got a major, major improvement to Likefolio that truly broadens it for existing investors and all the way through active traders. That'll be out probably January or February of next year. But, you know, it's one of those things where I wish it was already done because the demand is there now.
Is that a market? Like, do you anticipate being able to convert current traders over to use this as a,
Well, I think it's a valuable signal. So every trader and investor looks at multiple signals. And so some use, you know, what they call technical analysis, where they'll look at the different patterns in a chart. Others use fundamental analysis, where they look at the profit ratios of the company and the growth rate and the debt load and all that stuff. Another signal is the enthusiasm. We think another signal is the expressed enthusiasm of the company's client base and customers. And so we can.
Did you get a lot of that feedback, or
yeah, and we can dig that stuff out of the social noise that's out there. You know, there's millions of tweets per minute or whatever.
Yeah.
But we can find the financial signal behind all of that noise and expose it to investors. And you know, we are already fielding calls from hedge funds and institutional investors that want to pay pretty significant sums of money for access to our data. And so we're starting to find out that the data part of our, of what we're doing is pretty valuable.
Well, that data was just it's freely available to you, right? To interpret how you choose?
Yes, it is. The only problem is there's so much of it out there that once that our ability to take it down to a signal that matters is pretty critical. And so, you know, for example, we built by hand a database of 33,000 brand names and product names that tie back to 2,000 publicly traded companies. That database doesn't exist anywhere else, and so we can automatically filter tweets and Facebook posts down.
Go into detail about how you did that, Andy. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Give us all your secrets.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a lot of hard work.
So that's like the flux capacitor in the middle of your your company is that database that's
a big deal.
Okay.
That is a big deal. And it's valuable, and our ability to go out and get the data that's coming through the pipeline, get it down to a signal that matters to people, attach some sentiment to it, and figure those things out is going to be the key to our success or failure.
Okay. Did you whiteboard all this stuff out? I guess I'm trying to figure out how somebody gets, like, you know, you had a light bulb moment. We could be a lead generator for TD Ameritrade or whoever it was if we did this. And then what do you just get together in a room with a team and just process through everything? And then you have somebody who's being critical about, yeah, that's not really practical, but
yeah,
I mean, is that?
That's pretty much it. And, you know, we're a pretty visual company. And so we do try to, we skip all the way through to what we believe the end product should be first before we start thinking about how we're going to build it. And so,
begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
That's the one highly effective trait that I remember from that book. I don't remember anything else.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And you know, but at the same time, you also have to recognize that the end that you have in mind when you begin will not be the end that you have in mind 4 months later. You know, and you have to react to customers and to the market once you have a product out there. But having, you know, that core value that you stand for and that you're trying to achieve should be stable throughout time.
Okay. But the stuff around it.
Yeah.
Fine. We talked about the core last time you were on. And, you know, I recommend everybody go listen to that. I didn't really know you very well at that point, but I had read your Tumblr a lot.
Which, you know, I need to keep that updated. I haven't
read much. That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's tough to keep good content coming out. I'm sure you know running a podcast network.
Everybody does their own work. I did miss 2 weeks of podcasting, though, just because I was caught up with my stupid car not working. You know, life gets in the way. It does. I mean, you got stuff going on. But that's andyswan.com, right?
Andyswan.com. It's fun and quick reads, usually.
Do you have any sort of inclination to become a, I don't know, a figurehead or a public personality like a Vaynerchuk or a Jason Falls or something? I mean, a different sort of thing, but...
No, I really don't. I don't like that.
Well, are sort of that.
Well, that's fine, and okay. That's fine. I take that as a compliment, and you know, I'm happy to fill that role
You're not going to write a book.
I'm not going to write a book. If I write a book, it'll be a book to further the goals of the company that I'm involved with and what I'm trying to build.
Okay.
I'm not going to try to write things or become a figurehead of some sort of guru of how to help startups, although I'm happy to help anybody at any time. It's
through Voomly.com.
Any way I can. I'm pretty passionate about it, but it's not something I necessarily want to make my livelihood around.
So you'd rather build a company than be the company.
Exactly.
That's, who was it? And I refer to this every now and then. I think it was Jay-Z that says, "I'm not a businessman. I'm a business, man."
Yeah,
That's not you. Well, let's let your business be.
That's not me. But you know, God bless him. He's doing it.
Have you? Do you continue to invest in local companies? Are you putting money out there? And
I haven't in a while. You know, I really haven't. Unfortunately, I haven't seen great stuff for a while, but more important than that, I have seen a couple things that I normally probably would have invested in, but you know, we're starting our own companies we're burning cash, personal cash. And, you know, I've got to keep as much ammo dry as, or as much powder dry as possible. And so I've pretty much cut that off for now, but I'm sure I'll revisit it, you know, assuming I have some level of success or liquidity in the next little while. So I love doing that, but right now it's just not on my radar.
All right. Just wondering. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on around here.
Yeah.
But, and I, it's been a while since I've had an investor in. Of course, you're, you walk both sides of the aisle there. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I think, you know, I think Louisville is a good, it's a really good place to start a company. And, there's a whole lot of high quality people in Louisville. I have not seen, like the great stuff bubbling up yet. I think it's just very cyclical for some reason. Like you'll see periods of true innovation, and then, you know, like the Backupifys of the world, and then you'll see periods where everybody's trying to make this next little app kind of thing, and it's just
that
copycat
seems so tough to
make
money off of an app. I guess people are doing it. I
mean,
they allowed Aaron Marshall to move to South Africa, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so, absolutely. It's but anyway, you know, I think that that things are really, really good here in Louisville. It's you know, and with what Tony's doing over at Velocity and all that stuff, everything's moving the right direction. It's just a little bit of a dry period right now from an investor point of view, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that everything's just on a whiteboard somewhere in Nulu.
Well, I hope so.
At this point,
I think it's very possible.
Figuring it out. Well. Likefolio.com.
Yep.
Voomly.com.
Yep.
At Andy Swan on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or AndySwan.com on Tumblr, right? Where there's
pictures
of bourbon and babes and this, wise words from.
Right. It's, you know, it is, you know, the a visual representation of what's going on in my head a lot of times. There's,
all right.
There's a lot there, but there's a few nuggets.
We'll just, after we click off the microphone, we'll just do a content strategy session for you.
There you go.
That's, I'm sure you plan that far ahead.
But, yeah, that's,
you know,
that's a top priority.
You know, March 13th, I got to get that St. Patrick's Day, you know, drink Jameson blog post out there. Thanks for coming in, man.
Cool.